Men, I have a question for you. What would you do if your fiance was found to be pregnant and you had nothing to do with it? And ladies, what would you do if you were pregnant and your fiance had nothing to do with it? Well, this is the question that Joseph has to face in our gospel. Somehow he discovers that Mary is pregnant, and he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that he had nothing to do with it. The child is not his. What does he do? When he looks at his betrothed, at the woman he's engaged to be married, Mary, Joseph sees a woman who he believes has betrayed his trust. He sees in Mary a woman who has had an adulterous affair and carries the child of some other man. Now, legally, everything is in Joseph's favor at this point. Whatever dowry Mary's parents might have paid to Joseph, he is entitled to keep. And whatever bride price he might have paid to Mary's parents, he's entitled to ask for back. It's his. All the legal rights are within his realm. In fact, the biblical law goes so far as to declare that he, by law, by right, can have his wife or his betrothed stoned before the entire community for having an affair. The laws and customs are on Joseph's side. But Matthew in our gospel calls Joseph a just man. Now for this, when we think of somebody who is a just person, we think of somebody who likes to do things the right way. They're a stand-up kind of person. And in Scripture that holds true, but it means a little bit more than that. A just person in Scripture is someone who obeys the law of the Lord, who loves the law, the command that God has laid down, and obeys it. But Joseph isn't just a just man, he is also merciful. And so he decides to send Mary away secretly to release her from their engagement, believing that she had an affair. He decides to do this so that he doesn't shame her any further. He doesn't ask for any money back. He just severs the relationship by way of divorce. Now, at this point in the story, it can seem almost like your average gossip story or a soap opera. It's one of those things that happens. It's a very human story. And if it ended there, we would understand how things go. There'd be really nothing too special about it, actually. Everything Joseph has done, he has done as any human might do. In fact, you might say that he's gone above and beyond what a normal man might want to do. He doesn't want to shame her any further. He still has love for Mary, especially considering the conversation that they might have had after he discovered that she was pregnant. Can you imagine that conversation? They're getting ready for their wedding. Maybe they're tying up together some party favors. They're choosing colors for their wedding, or they're trying to weed down the guest list from just the town of Bethlehem to maybe just Nazareth. I don't know. And Mary turns to Joseph. Honey, can I tell you something? Listen, there's no good way to say this, so I'm just going to come out and say it. I'm with child, and God's the Father. What do you say to that? You know, you can't say much to it. You just kind of think the person's off the rocker. Joseph does the best he can do. He decides to end the relationship secretly, to just send Mary away. And even though that might be an admirable thing in this story, it still leaves brokenness. And it still ends in heartache. In the end, Joseph, Mary, they just can't fix things. And this is what our world is like. It is broken. And despite all the pageantry of the holidays, of this Christmas season, it still is broken. And it can feel like the holidays maybe amplify that brokenness. They show it a little bit more. It's in stark relief to what we're celebrating sometimes. This year, this December, there were shootings in Australia. There was a massacre in Pakistan. Police officers were killed in New York City, execution style. It's a broken world. And we see brokenness up close and at home too, don't we? Holiday seasons, they bring out all those strained family relationships, don't they? And of course, there are times too when we, at these holiday meals, these Christmas dinners, where you look across the table and you see an empty chair, one that should be filled with a loved one. The world is broken. It is fallen. It is enslaved to corruption, to sin. And sometimes it seems like evil and death, sorrow, they're so prevalent that it's all we can see. All Joseph could see when he looked at Mary was brokenness, was unfaithfulness. And despite his admirable actions, it was going to remain broken. But the gospel tells us that when Joseph had resolved to go through with this separation, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream, telling him not to fear, but that he should continue with the wedding, that he should wed Mary. For the child she was carrying was conceived in her by the Holy Spirit. And the angel then tells Joseph that Mary will bear a son, and that she and Joseph are to name him Jesus. And then, as readers of the gospel, Matthew tells us something more. He tells us about that this entire event, the Virgin Mary conceiving a son, is meant to fulfill a prophecy written centuries before through the prophet Isaiah, that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. When someone's suffering, maybe they've lost a loved one, maybe they're in pain, what's the best thing you can do for that person? Is it give them food? That's nice, but it's not the best. Is it giving them money? Oh, that's nice too, but it's not the best. The best thing you can do for that person is give them your presence, to be there with them in their suffering. Long ago, God foresaw a world full of sin, suffering, and sorrow, in desperate need, and put forth a plan to bring healing and comfort to his people. And he spoke of this to his people through the prophets, saying, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. In essence, God saw a broken world full of suffering and said, I will come and I will be with you in your suffering. Now, if you're like me, you might ask why Joseph and Mary didn't go the full mile in fulfilling the prophecy and just name Jesus Emmanuel, which what the prophecy says, you shall name him or call him Emmanuel. Why do they name him Jesus? Or why does God have them name him Jesus? It is because God's presence, God with us, with his people, will not and cannot be known apart from this child named Jesus, whose name means the Lord saves. God does more than just give his presence. He gives himself in salvation for us. And to make sure that the people don't get that, don't miss that point, God tells Joseph through the angel that you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. When we go visit someone who is suffering, our presence means something to them, but in the end, that's all we can give them. God gives us so much more. He gives us Jesus, who is the Lord's salvation for us. We celebrate the birth of Christ at the season. But even as we do so, even as we look at a manger scene and we see a baby Jesus, we know this baby Jesus is the same one who goes to the cross for us, who dies for us. He is always to us the crucified and resurrected one. In him, the brokenness of our world and of our lives finds healing, a healing that began 2,000 years ago, that continues now in this day and will find its completion when Christ returns again in glory. Amen.